Welcome to the show, everybody. Before we get to our interview today with Vivek Rangarajan, DJ and host of the Death Wave Show on WGMU Radio, I want to make you aware of a special offer happening now. The official Jams for Man t-shirt featuring the Jams for Man can logo is available. So go out and get one at xushots.com/shop. That's xushots.com/shop, because only 24 were made, and they're going to sell out fast. This is all thanks to photographer and publisher Chris Henderson, a recent guest on the show. His website, xushots.com, is an independent publishing company specializing in vintage and contemporary media about the Washington, D.C. punk rock scene. And he's created this limited edition shirt, as well as shirts for our recent guest, Indian Summer. So thank you, Chris. And as always, thank you for listening to Jams for Man and supporting the local Northern Virginia music scene. Now to my conversation with a man that is super knowledgeable about all things thrash, hardcore, metal, grindcore, industrial, goth, and other music genres going on in the DMV.
All right. So thank you so much for sitting down to talk to me. I know I am so sorry I was so finicky with you over the past several weeks. I completely apologize. But yeah, we're doing this now. Jam for Man. All right.
We're doing it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm interviewing you, you're interviewing me.
Well, so for this interview, obviously, is it an interview? I thought or is it more like a discussion?
We're just having a conversation, man. That's really all it is. We're just talking music.
We're just talking music. All right. So obviously, I know when we were discussing, we wanted to talk about, heavy metal and obviously the history of like heavy metal and punk rock in Northern Virginia and DC. You brought up, I remember you were talking about, you brought up several bands. Deceased is one. Foe Hammer is one. Pig Destroyer is also one of them. What else did you have in mind that you would like to talk and discuss about with regards to like Nova metal and punk?
Definitely my hometown,
Reston,
you know, that's where it all begins for me.
Yeah.
So that's what got me interested in music was, and not just interested in music in general, but the idea of local music and going out to see bands and that you didn't have to go to RFK,
yeah,
you know, or Wolf Trap to see a show, but there was other stuff going on.
Yeah.
And that I could be a part of it too. Like I could be a part of it as a fan right there, even as young as like 13 and 14.
Okay.
And that someday I would be able to start my own band because there were guys, you know, from my high school that were doing it and putting out music. You're, you know, around the scene right now. Like,
yeah.
People who know me, or maybe they don't know that I'm living in Los Angeles now.
Yep.
You know, I do this as a labor of love, you know, a love letter to Northern Virginia, you know, this place that is important and it's in my heart, but
yeah.
I'm not there, you
yeah.
know. I don't know what's going on now. I feel very disconnected from, you know, Northern Virginia and DC and what's happening there now. And you know, I was listening to your radio show, and
thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, it's really cool what you're doing. And I'd like to hear more about how you got started doing the radio show there and, you know, what you think about the music that's happening there now.
Sure. So the way I got started with my own college radio show was a lot of friends would tell me I know a lot of music. Personally, I don't think I know a lot of music. I always think that there's always a band that I'm missing a knowledge of. Like with what you were saying earlier with a lot of those Reston bands, I didn't know about them until I discovered your podcast. So thank you. So I'm always trying to figure out, you know, new ways to discover and learn about new bands, or just, you know, just finding new music in general. And the radio show to me was a really cool way of doing that, because not only I could share stuff that I think is really cool, but I could also share that something, you know, that other people might think is really cool. And it was a really nice outlet for me to express that, like, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So what is Behind Death Waves in terms of what you specifically choose to play, or how you make a playlist? Do you try to give or dedicate a certain amount to specific bands from the area? Do you have a percentage of stuff that you try to dedicate to local music, or how do you essentially decide, you know, what bands you're going to play and how you're going to arrange your shows?
Sure. So typically for a normal Death Waves episode, I will write out every subgenre of music I know. So like thrash metal, death metal, hardcore punk, DB, crust punk. I'll literally write them out all on like notebook paper. Like I could fill out notebook paper with all the stuff I've been told I know, or at least I'm aware of. And what I do is I try to keep it diverse, and I try to keep every style of music balanced, regardless if they're from the area or not. So what I do is I try to allocate, like, you know, like I won't an average typically I play an average of like 7 songs of like metal, punk, industrial, and goth each. So 7 songs from like each style of that genre. So that way, whenever a listener tunes into my show, they can go, "Oh wow, that's really cool. It's different." And then I throw an industrial song at them, and then they're like, "Whoa, what? This is from left field, but it's still really cool." If that makes sense. I try to keep it as diverse as possible. So I never think like, "Oh, I think I've played this much." No, I write it down so that way if I think I do, I can just look at it as a source of record and go, "No, I didn't. I need to put some more punk rock into this episode. Let's do that." And what I do is, when it comes to selecting bands, I'm not one of those people that's very adamant on like how well known or how less known they are. I'm just more like, did I play this band already? I did. I will not play them for this episode or any other episodes because I've already played them. I need to give other bands a chance. And a lot of the times with local bands, I usually try to focus on like if a local band or like from Reston, or obviously I also do Maryland and DC as well. But if those bands have released something new, then I'm always more than happy to say, I like this and I'll play it. So that's usually how I select an episode, how I select tracks for an episode. I also get I also get like promo copies from record labels. And so what I do is I always select 2 tracks from two albums for each episode. And then I select like several tracks from each album to play. And hopefully people that tune in enjoy the promos that I got.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I like the diverse mix that you've got going on. You know, you've got Lieback mixed with Noi and Whiplash and Gang of Four, and you know, you just got all this cool stuff going on.
Thank you.
So I'm, you know, I have a really diverse taste in music. I like all that stuff that you're playing.
I appreciate it. Thank you. I truly do. I'm not gonna go ahead and say I have diverse music. I have a diverse music taste by any stretch of the matter. But one thing I did like, my goal with Death Waves was, like, to me, I consider metal, punk, and industrial, like, it's all interconnected somehow. The way I've always seen it is metal, punk, and goth music were always connected to each other somehow. I'm not going to go ahead and make the claim, like, if you're into Slayer, you can easily get into Ministry, or you can easily get into Skinny Puppy. I won't make that claim. Like, no, obviously not all Slayer fans are going to like Skinny Puppy, but I definitely think there are some steps or some pathways you can take to get into Skinny Puppy in their music, if that makes sense.
I like all 3 of those bands.
Yeah. No, I do too. I'm happy. I mean, I just bought tickets to see Slayer at Madison Square Garden next week, and Ministry are opening up. So I'm a very happy person right now. I am.
That sounds like an awesome show.
It will be.
What are your favorite local bands right now? What are the best bands, labels? Like, what should we be on the lookout for in terms of the local music scene?
Sure. So When in terms of local, let me ask you a question before I talk about cool local artists of note. Can I include Maryland and D.C. as well? Because I can say
absolutely. It's okay. It's the DMV.
Okay, thank you.
You know,
because
I am open to having bands from, you know, suburban Maryland. I'm open to having bands all the way like down from like probably Virginia Beach up to like Baltimore.
Thank you.
You know, because some of those bands, like I talked to the guys from Swank. They were a band that they used to play a lot in Northern Virginia, and I really liked them. And they put out an album recently. I have yet to have them on the show, but they're a band that played, you know, in down in Virginia Beach.
Okay,
that's where they're from.
Okay.
But then they were playing up here all the time. They were playing shows up in Northern Virginia. I had Jeff Berman on. He started out in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Wow.
And then he goes by Divided Heaven now.
Okay.
But he was in the band VPR, and you know he was in bands in DC also, and you know. So he was part of this Northern Virginia, D.C. scene when he was living here, and he was going to American University. And he lives out in Los Angeles now. So again, like, it doesn't just – I'm not pigeonholed to just Reston or just Northern Virginia at all, but I want people to have a connection to the area.
Of course, of course.
And – you know, I think most of the people that have a connection to the area, they played all those places. They played, you know, shows in Maryland. They played shows in D.C. and they played shows in Northern Virginia. They played in and around the whole DMV.
Of course. Of course. Nice. Well, on the topic of like DMV bands, then one of my favorites from our entire area is a band called Nomos. They're a grindcore band. They're from Maryland. They're really, really, if you like really intense, like extreme metal, you will definitely love that band. They're able to draw like their influences for their style of grindcore can take, you know, they draw various influences from like bands like from all the way out in Norway, like 1349, or from like local bands like Pig Destroyer, or from bands like from Brazil, like Sepultura, for example. I mean, that band is able to draw so many cool extreme metal influences into their own unique and definitive style of grindcore. It's absolutely ferocious, and it's just excellent. It's what, you know, it's what bands really that want to, like, to me, it's what bands that want to, if you're a band that wants to go somewhere, do what they're doing. Follow, like, you don't have to follow their model per se, but for whatever style of music you make, follow their model and just take as many cool influences from various other styles of metal as possible. You would be surprised at what you can do. And Nomos is proof of that. They are. They really are. Another cool band on the topic of grindcore, because grindcore is a beautiful, beautiful thing in the DMV. It really is. On the topic of grind, I'll move down to Arlington and talk about Tomb Warden. I interviewed those dudes several weeks ago, but that band is another cool example of what you can do with grindcore, because they're able to take influences from like New York hardcore and like early New York style death metal, like with Immolation and like Incantation and stuff, and obviously, you know, the old New York hardcore scene like Madball and like Agnostic Front and whatnot, and they're able to, you know, take that and blend it with their own style of grindcore. Because I remember talking to Tommy Wall, their guitarist. He's really into the Gulf Coast style of it, like Insect Warfare and PLF, but he takes elements that he likes from that, and, you know, he fuses it with the elements that, like, Paul, their drummer, who also lives in Herndon, by the way, their drummer, Paul, and they're able to, you know, fuse, they're able to take those elements and fuse them with the New York hardcore elements that Paul likes. And John, obviously, their singer, he's a humongous, like, he plays in another death metal band that I'll talk about shortly. He's able to, you know, bring some, he's able to bring some of that, like, old school death metal style, like, early 90s death metal style vocals to Tomb Warden. And because of that, they're really, 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 really unique to me. To me, at least, they're very unique. And I appreciate them for that. And I guess on the topic, since I brought up John, their singer, he plays in a death metal band called Perpetuated, and they're DC. But like two of them, one of the members lives in Vienna, and well, they basically are Northern Virginia actually, because one of the members lives in Alexandria. Paul, who's the drummer, he lives in Herndon, and then their other guitar player, Demir, he lives in Vienna. So they all that's another really cool death metal band, because they're able to take, like, again, just really, really classy elements of like New York style death metal, Finnish death metal, and they fuse it into their own unique, definitive sound. And I like it, and I like seeing bands do that, as opposed to just be like trying to go like, all right, let's just do this band, or let's just do this band, or let's just do this band. It's more like, let's take elements we like from these regional scenes and fuse it and see what happens. I like that, and those bands do that. They do it very well too. But I guess if we're talking, can I pick an all-time favorite?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. If we're talking all-time favorites from the area, and I don't get me wrong, I will talk about punk and goth mute bands next. I'm not going to shortchange them. I assure you. I know you want to hear that. I won't shortchange them. But like, if we're talking like my all-time favorite band from like the entire DMV area, it would most likely be Noisem from Baltimore, Maryland. To me, that band is what like. If I were to make music, it would be kind of like that. It would be very similar to what, or at least at the very least, very influenced by like what Noisem is doing. Because those guys, they started out as, they were literally kids in high school when they first started out, and they were able to make records and tour the U.S. before any of them actually turned 21, and that's absolutely mind blowing to me. You know, and I often, whenever I see them, I talk to them, and I try to hang out with them as much as I can, and they're all wonderful guys, Ben, Harley, Sebastian, they're all great people to be around, and I love talking to them. You know, so that band took everything I liked about metal and just about thrash, death, and grindcore, and they fused it into this one ferocious and ripping package. It's awesome. I mean, and, you know, and whenever you talk to them, they're always very genuine. They're always very, you know, they're very grateful that, you know, you come out to the shows and that you come out and support. They're great people, and they always put on a wonderful live show too. Every time I've seen them, I've always been like, this is a good decision. It's just one of those things. You go and see them. It's like, I'm glad we saw this. Like, you're talking to a friend. It's like, should we have gone to that? It's like, no, dude, we saw Noisem. This was a smart decision. And you're like, you're right. You know, it's just, it was one of those bands for me.
And when you see these bands playing, where are most of these bands playing in the area?
Sure. So with the DMV, one of the things I've always noticed about our area is, like, we never really had any definitive clubs. Like, you know how, like, Philadelphia, New York, and, like, a lot of cities would have definitive metal and punk spots. The DMV, I always noticed, like, you would find multiple, at least from my experience, at least, you probably know this, you would find multiple venues that could just host metal and punk shows. Like, there were always venues just hosting shows. So I guess, like, for our area, at least, like, in Baltimore, Sidebar is a great place. I love going there. That's a really notable area for shows. Noise and play there a lot, too. In D.C., there's always, obviously, 930 Club, Rock and Roll Hotel, you know. What else in D.C.? Yeah, 930 Club. That's a huge one. Black Cat, obviously, that's still around. Rock and Roll Hotel, they haven't gotten as many shows recently, but again, they're still around. Atlas Brewworks, that's basically become the hotspot for metal in our area, at least. Now, in fact, it's funny I'm bringing it up. I'm actually going there later tonight to go see Carnivore AD. So, you know, like, that Atlas Brewworks. So basically, it's a brewery on West Virginia Avenue. Around December of 2016, they started hosting shows. Like, I was there for the first one, which was the DC Heavy Metal Christmas Party, which featured Gloom and Genocide Pact, who are two notable death metal bands from the area. And ever since then, they've just started getting more and more and more and more and more. And all the promoters I know, they love working with the Atlas Brewworks staff. They're very easy to work with. Booking there is always easy, and getting there is also really easy, too. All you need to do is just go in. If you're going off 66, go onto the exit that leads into 395, and then you go into 395, and you keep going, like, you go onto New York Avenue, and then you turn onto West Virginia Avenue, and boom, you're there. So it's a very easy venue to get to in D.C. as well, probably the easiest, actually, out of all of them. And because of that, I noticed a lot more bands are playing there. A lot more fans love going there, at least in the metal community here. They love going to Atlas because of how easy and accessible it is for everyone. Maryland, Virginia, D.C., it doesn't matter. It's just easy. It's one definitive location. Parking is directly up front, and it also has a cemetery right across it. So that, I think, helps the heavy metal vibe. I think that helps. I'm talking about metal way too much. I know I always do. But I guess on the topic of, like, you know, punk and industrial, there's a thriving DC hardcore scene here. They, like, a lot of those guys now branched off and do their own thing, but for a while now, Pure Disgust was one of the biggest bands from our area in terms of punk and hardcore. There's a lot of other notable ones. Red Death, they're a crossover band, but they're another notable band from our area. Combat, when they were around, they were pretty big. What else? Rashomon, which is basically like a combination of, like, Japanese hardcore, like Deathside, for example. And what they do is they fuse that with, like, Faith and Void. They're, like, a lot of those dudes are big fans of Faith and Void and all that stuff. So they fuse really cool elements of Japanese hardcore and cool elements of DC hardcore together to create their own style and their own sound. And I really like that, too. I think that's really cool. We'll be right back. Needle, that's oh, I forgot to mention them actually. Needle, that's, if you want one of the best youngest grind bands from our area, that's the one. That band is doing good things. Seriously, they are doing nothing but good things. Let's see. Obviously, anything with Chris Moore is always good. He's always doing something noteworthy. Anything that has Chris Moore in it, just count me in. That's how I feel. If it has Chris Moore, I'm in. I don't care what the band plays. I don't care how they sound. I don't care how many shows they have. Just count me in. I know. I'm in for a good time. Obviously, we all know him from like his early days in Magruder Grind, as well as Coke Bust. What else? Sick Fix, they're really cool. Guilt Parade, that's another great one of his. And he also just recently started this really cool dark wave and gothic rock band called Airtex. Like, if you're really into like 90s goth, especially the stuff on Cleopatra Records, they're really, really, really good. If you like those early 90s goth albums, not early goth albums, but early goth records, and obviously, you know, Wax Trax and Cleopatra, you would definitely enjoy Airtex. They take everything cool about 90s goth and just run with it, and I really appreciate them for that too. And in terms of local goth music and local post punk, one band I really like, and this one is another one of my all time favorites from the DMV. In terms of like just right now local bands, Social Station, they're very like Gang of Four influenced and very Mission of Burma influenced, if you like that style of post punk, very intellectual and cerebral style of it. Let's see, I'm trying to think. Ego Likeness from Baltimore, they're really cool too. They're again Metropolis Records band too, so there's like they are a noteworthy band from our area actually. What else? I mean, I'm trying to think. Let's see. Dang, I wish I had my notepad on me. I could just like list off bands for you and you'd go, oh, okay, cool.
XUShots.com
is an independent publishing company specializing in vintage and contemporary media about the Washington, D.C. punk rock scene.
XUShots.com
produces high quality, limited edition merchandise for the discerning punk rock connoisseur. Now listen in on this case study so you too can experience the unexpected when you have
XUShots.com.
In your life.
Is that a limited edition Jams for Man t-shirt from XUShots?
Why, yes. I was lucky to get one, because only 24 were ever made.
That's so hot. It makes me want to hum.
Let's duet. XUShots.com.
Oh my god, that Jams for Man t-shirt from XU Shots is so Warhol. It makes me want to blow your kiss.
Sounds inviting, but my door doesn't swing that way. Thanks for the offer.
Hey! Get that dog off my leg! Remember, that's XUShots.com, XUShots.com, where everybody loves you.
So other than your show, you know, what are other like shows to listen to, or what are other places to like discover this music other than going out to the shows? Like, in terms of whether it's internet radio or, satellite radio or even, actual radio just coming over the regular airwaves.
Sure.
How are you finding these bands? How are you discovering this stuff? And where can we hear more things like this?
Sure. I mean, a lot of that, from my experience at least, a lot of it was really just going to shows and just like meeting people. I tend to keep to myself at shows. I won't lie. I tend to do that, but I would always, for some reason, I'd always end up in a conversation, and then I'd talk to them, and they'd say, "Hey, I play in this band," or "Hey, I play in this band," and I'd go check it out, you know? Or I would go and see these bands. Like, I would go early to see, like, some of the opening bands because I knew some of them were good. I wasn't one of those people that's like, they all suck. No, I know there are good opening bands out there, and the DMV is proof of that. We have plenty of those. But, you know, I would just go and I'd see these bands play and I really enjoy it. And then I'd just start talking to the members. That's kind of how it would happen. Or another way is you kind of just have to go to record stores in the area. Like Vienna Music Exchange is one of them. CD Seller is one of them. Smash Records in DC. That's another one. What I would do is I would just go to the bulletins and I'd see flyers for shows. And really that's basically how I would find more local bands that way.
That's so cool. Those are a lot of the same record stores that I was going to, like, 25 years ago.
It's awesome.
So it's good to know that that those places are still around. Yeah. And also that flyers still work.
Oh, yeah.
Because flyers were huge for us in terms of, like, how we discovered bands and when they were playing and just looking at, like, a cool flyer. I mean, I would go to record stores and just look for cool covers.
Oh, totally.
And also just look at cool flyers.
Totally.
And if I like the flyer for this band, I'm going to like this band. Or if I like the album cover for this band, I know I'm going to like this.
Oh, totally. And then I, you know what's funny on the topic of album covers? I remember talking to some of the older metalheads and punks and goths that I know, and they'd always tell me, it's like, well, if you didn't like the album cover, you would turn to the back to see a picture of the band, and if they were wearing cool shirts, you would buy the record.
Totally.
Yeah. If they were wearing, like, cool band shirts, you were like, okay, these guys are cool. Let's buy this record and see what's up.
Yeah. I mean, I used to do that with not even just, bands from our time. But, like, I would go back and look at bands records from bands from the 60s or, like, 70s or 80s, whatever. You know, bands that I'd never heard of. And I was also doing a lot of sampling for my own music from sure. records. Gotcha. And, if the record was like a quarter, 50 cents, a dollar, like who cared? As long as the guys in the band looked cool, yeah. and it was a cool cover, like, yeah, it probably contained at least one good sample on it.
Yeah. You know? I like the logical reasoning and the deduction behind that too. It's like, this looks cool, this looks cool. Okay, this has a 75% chance of being passable. Let's buy this. I like that. No, it's cool, man. You don't see that nowadays. With people, it's always just like, I like one or two songs. All right, I'm out. And it's like, you didn't bother to discover stuff. Okay. All right, whatever.
Well, I heard this stat the other day. I can't remember the exact stat, but it was something like, 90% of kids under 21 had not even listened to a full album.
Really?
Yeah.
Like 90% of kids under 21 have not listened to like a full record?
Yeah, a full record.
That's weird because like I was just doing that 2 days ago. Just kidding. I did that yesterday. I listened to all of Hawkwind, Hall of the Mountain Grill.
Well, you are – awesome record. You are not in that 90%, like, obviously. I don't think so. Are very much in this other 10% of
that's
of
funny.
Music bring... obsessives like
yeah.
I am, you know?
Yeah, but that's funny you bring it up because I remember in the eighth grade when a friend of mine was trying to get me into Pantera, and I never got into him. I just wasn't getting it. But then on the on the Slacker Radio or Pandora Radio, Hell Awaits by Slayer came on, and that just completely changed my world. Like, I had never listened to anything that evil or sinister in my life, and I was just like, what is this? I have to listen to more of this. And all I remember is I just remember running up to my room. As soon as Hell Awaits finished, I just sprinted to my room, opened up my laptop, typed in Slayer, and then I forgot the title, but Angel of Death came on, and I was like, all right, I'll just check the song out, click. And I was just and it just blew me away. Did not know that's what a band could do. And then I was like, what album is this on? Not in the sense of like, I have to check out the whole album. I was like, what is this on? Where's this from? I checked out all of Rain and Blood, and you know, that opened the floodgates for me. And I was 12 at the time. So you know, you can only imagine like how much of a profound impact that might have had on like just this random suburban kid right here.
Yeah, but imagine if there was no internet and there was no way of clicking to find that, and you had to instead go to a record store and like just ask the guy behind the counter about it, or, you know, find it and just you'd have to buy the record based on that.
Yeah.
Or if they didn't have the record, you'd have to maybe wait till the band came to town.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
One of the other things that I'm just really curious about with you is you said that you never tried your hand at actually making music yourself, or...
Yeah, I've actually never done that. I have never, ever done that. I have nothing against... Like, I've always thought about it, but, like, I have ideas, floating in my head, but, like, for some reason, I've never actually decided to follow through with it.
Okay, this is ridiculous. I just got to say, like, I'm sorry. Like, for somebody that loves music as much as you do and has all these different influences of music, you should be making music also. You should be attempting to make music, even if you don't feel like it's as good as the music that you love, or like you could never be as good as those musicians. There's music in your head, man. There's music in your head that only you can hear. And you're never going to know, you know, how that music can sound outside unless you try to express that and try to make music yourself. I know that you like electronic music.
I do. You know? I do enjoy industrial and electronic music. I really do.
And so I think that there are lots of, you know, lots of pretty simple programs out there.
Yeah.
That you can get on your computer to just start trying your hand at making some industrial sounding stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot electronic stuff.
Just, I should.
Just make it really loud and aggressive, and you'll be fine.
Really?
Yeah, just make it, you know, try to take whatever whatever program you get or whatever instrument you get and just try to make it as intense as you can possibly make it sound.
Okay. I'll try that. I mean, you know what's funny, actually? It's funny you bring up industrial music because, like, I had an idea, like, I don't know. You know who? You obviously know who Max Cavalera of Sepultura is, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. You, and do you know Alex Newport of Fudge Tunnel by any chance? They had a band in the 90s. Well, yeah. They had a band in the 90s called Nail Bomb, and that was basically a combination of, like, metal, punk, and industrial. But most notably, like, if you were to take Sepultura, like, Arise era Sepultura, and fuse that with, like, Discharge and, like, you know, Einstürzoid, Neubauten, Ministry, and Godflesh, that would be Nail Bomb. That's basically what I would like to do. Something like that, like a catch-all for thrash, punk, and industrial.
Well, then do it. Busy. I know you have your show. I know you're going out to shows all the time, and I know that you have school. Obviously, like you know, you have to get good grades, or they'll kick you off the radio. But but I'm sure that you can still find a little bit of time to mess around and just start making stuff.
All right.
That's how it starts. That's how you have to do it. Well, listen, man, I could talk about music.
We could talk for hours.
I could spend the rest of the day talking about music, especially because my family is away and on vacation without me right now. But I do have to get ready for this wedding. So I thank you so much for talking to me, for taking out time from your busy schedule to talk to me.
Thank you for talking to me as well. I appreciated this, and I was really excited when you reached out for an interview. Truly, I really was. I really was excited. And so thank you again for talking to me and, you know, providing more insight into the Reston and Northern Virginia punk rock scene. And I really...
We should thank Adrian. Should thank Adrian Munoz for...
Munoz. Shout out to Adrian Munoz of Domestic Terror Promotions. Thanks so much for linking us together. We love you, man.
Yeah, because without him, this wouldn't have happened. I wouldn't have discovered your show, and you wouldn't have discovered mine. And there's so much music that we're going to discover.
Yes.
That relationship, too.
Yes. Yes, so, and I appreciate that. And I always look forward to that.